أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. We continue with ayah number 9 of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to the fascinating and amazing story of Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, do you think that the story or that the companions of Al-Kahf and the companions of Al-Raqim, do you think that they were from our amazing and wonderful signs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it as an amazing, a wonderful, a most astonishing ayah, miracle from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we spoke of the meaning of Al-Kahf, why they are called Ashab Al-Kahf. We spoke of Al-Raqim, why they were called the people of Al-Raqim. We spoke of the uncertainty with regards to the geographical location of these youngsters. The next question is, when did this incident unfold? When did this incident take place? It was definitely before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Majority of the historians and commentators of the Quran say that it happened approximately 250 years after the ascension of Isa alayhi salam. So this incident had taken place between Nabi Isa alayhi salam and the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say approximately 250 years after Isa alayhi salam was risen up to the heavens by Allah azza wa jal. So if it happened about 250 years and they slept for about 300 years, which means that they awoke from their sleep at around 550 years after Nabi Isa alayhi salam's ascension, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in 570. 570 years after Isa alayhi salam's ascension. So which means that they awoke from their sleep approximately, Allah knows best, 20 or 30 years before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is when they awoke from their sleep. And they were living in a time. What was the climate at that time? They were living in a time when polytheism in that region reached its height. People worshipped anything and everything. They saw a dog and they'll associate it as a partner to Allah. The craze of the time was polytheism, shirk. That was prevalent. Everybody was involved in shirk. And not ordinary shirk, shirk of a different level. They would, anything that they could associate as a partner with Allah and turn it into a god, they would do so. Whether it was stone, whether it was a tree, whether it was rocks, whether it was animals. That was the climate that they had lived in. And these youngsters, they were the sons of royals. They enjoyed royalty. They were not ordinary citizens. They were youngsters who did not know one another, by the way. They did not know one another initially, and they belonged to the upper class, the elite class of society, and they were the children of chieftains and princes and so forth. And within themselves, these youngsters, they had reservations with regards to what the people were involved in. And the king at the time, whose name was Daqiyanus is the name that's recorded for the king. He forced people to worship anything and everything besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So the community and the region in which they lived, they had an annual festival. And in this festival, they would worship their gods and they would bring their gods together. And it was a festival wherein every person was involved in the highest level and the highest form of shirk. So they would come and sacrifice animals for stone, and they would come and sacrifice animals for all the different gods, and they would celebrate their gods and introduce their gods to each other. and bring new gods into the community and so forth. So these youngsters who didn't know one another attended this festival. But already within them, Allah Ta'ala had planted the seed of hidayat. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had planted the thought within them that what the community was doing was obviously incorrect. And they were all there, they were part of the festival, and everybody was involved in shirk. And one by one, these youngsters left that festival. Late at night, as the people were involved in shirk, the first youngster, he could no longer tolerate what the community was doing, and the thought arrived in his heart, and this was hidayat from Allah. This was guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he left that festival, and he went to a distant spot. He found a tree, and he just sat there under the tree, contemplating about the absurdity that the people were involved in, and how foolish they were, and how ignorant they were to worship a God other than the supreme power, Allah Azza wa Jal, who brought the entire creation into existence. And then a second youngster, the second one from amongst them, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is now choosing them and placing these thoughts within their minds. And a second youngster leaves that festival, and Subhanallah, where does he go? He goes to the exact same spot where the first youngster went to contemplate and to think, and he arrives and he sits down under the tree, and they do not know each other. And like this, the third and the fourth and the fifth, all of them, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala planned it such that they gather under this one tree, and they're all sitting there in silence, and none of them wants to disclose his thoughts to the others because he is afraid. He does not know the person who is seated next to him. That person might report him to the king, and the king may have him killed. Until eventually Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave one of them the courage to stand up. And he stands up and he asks them, he says, listen, there is definitely some common reason and some common cause that has brought us together here under this tree. It seems as if we are all having the same type of doubts and thoughts with regards to what our community is involved in. And he speaks out. And he says, listen, this is what I think about the shirk. And this is what I think about the polytheism. And this is what I think of our community and what they are involved in. And the moment he announces this and he professes his iman in Allah, the others express their thoughts. And they also, you know, explain their beliefs and explain their situations, and they all realize that they are on haq, they are on the truth, and that they all ascribe to the same ideology of monotheism. After that, they decide amongst themselves that they are going to secure a place for themselves where they would go and they would worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and they would learn and teach each other. And this is how they had spent the next few days. The news about them had reached the king, and people started speaking about this group of youngsters because they were prominent youngsters in society, and as we said, they belonged to prominent families. So it was obvious that, you know, within a short period of time, people will come to know of their beliefs, and people will come to know of the religion that they had ascribed to. According to majority of the scholars, they followed the religion of Isa alayhi salam. They were from amongst the few remnants that existed in that time that believed in the religion of Isa alayhi salam. So they were following the teachings of the Injil, and they were from the followers of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. The king came to learn of their beliefs, and he sent for them, he summoned them. And the first thing he did was he questioned them with regards to their beliefs and with regards to the religion that they follow. So they made it quite clear to the king. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks of it a little further on when they stood before the king. And they said that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah says they stood before the king, but we fortified their hearts. We made their hearts firm. They stood before Daqiyanus, who was a tyrant. Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We fortified their hearts, إِذْ قَامُوا. They stood up. Where did they stand up? In the court of the king, in front of the king. وَفَقَالُوا, and they said to the king, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Rabb is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. We shall never supplicate or call out to or worship any other ilah beside him. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. If you ascribe any partner to Allah, indeed we have uttered something that is very far away from the truth. So they declared their faith before the king. But because of their royalty, because of the prominence they enjoyed in society, number one, the king stripped them of their royalty. So even the royal garments that they were wearing and the expensive clothes that they were covered in, he had it removed from them, and he wanted them to realize they were youngsters. They were youngsters, youth. You know, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so highly about them, because the last sector or the last, part of community you'd expect this from is the youth. Generally, the youth are the most difficult to influence when it comes to affairs related to religion. Yes, when a person is now, gone through the different phases of life, and he has gone through his the age of youth, then, he contemplates, he thinks it's easier to influence such a person. But so long as a person is a young man, a youth, living in the lap of luxury and in the lap of affluence and enjoying all the comfort, very, very difficult to influence such a person, such a young man. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes specific mention in the ayah to come of them being youngsters, being a group of youth. And he said to them, the king said to them, that fine, because of the status that you enjoy and because you belong to such and such a family, I will give you a period of time to think over the decision that you have made. If within a certain period of time you still refuse to come back to the religion of your forefathers and the religion of the community, then we shall have no choice but to kill you and to assassinate you. And it is at that point where they realize that Allah has created for us an opportunity to flee from the city. And that is when they had decided to run away from that city, from that village, and they proceeded towards this kahf, this huge cave that they had found. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةِ. Allah says, when the fityah, Allah could have said when they, because Allah already spoke of Ashab al-Kahf. Allah says Ashab al-Kahf, and generally in Arabic, when you have mentioned a noun, when you have mentioned somebody openly, then to refer to that person, you use a pronoun. Like we say, Zayd went to the masjid. You don't say, and Zayd is returning. You say, he is returning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ashab al-Kahf. He could have then said, and they, إِذْ أَوَوْ إِلَى الْكَهَفِ, and they sought refuge in the cave. But what he say? إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةً. When the fityah, when these youngsters, Allah makes it clearly known that they were youngsters, they were shabab, they were youth. Allah says, إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةً. When the youngsters, they took refuge إِلَى الْكَهَفِ. They went into the cave and they made a dua. What was the dua? فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. They turned to Allah. They knew they needed Allah's help. And as youngsters and as people in general, when we are forced to fall into some temptation or we are tempted, first place we should turn to and seek protection is not to rely on our own spirituality, our own piety, our own righteousness and so forth, but to Allah Azza wa Jal. We find Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaykha said to him, Hayta lak, come over here. And she had one thing on her mind. What did he say? Qala ma'adallah. First thing he did, he says, I seek Allah's protection. I seek Allah's protection, because you can never rely on your own abilities and strength. So that is what they did also. Faqalu, the first thing they did is they made dua. When they fled and they ran away from the king and the community, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahmah. Oh Allah, bless us, give us from your side mercy. Wahayyi lana min amrina rashada. And oh Allah, provide us, hayyi lana, provide for us guidance in our affair from your side. Guide us through the decisions that we make. May Allah grant us the understanding.